Well, this is week three of our 4 weeks looking at prayer together on Sundays, mornings and evenings. And in some ways, this is part two of what we began last week. So it's week three in total. But last week was really setting up this week. This is part two of what we looked at last week, where we started off with Jesus in the temple in Matthew 21. And that extraordinary account of him overturning tables. Overturning tables and saying the words, "My house will be a house of prayer." And we considered last week, and we traced it through the Bible, how what Jesus said is a Bible theme, and it's a theme which points us to ourselves, of who we are. That extraordinary disclosure, if you like, in the New Testament that God no longer has a temple where he is to be found. Or rather, there is a temple, but that temple is now a people. And we saw that we are a house of prayer. That was the big point from last Sunday morning. We are a house of prayer. I wonder how you left here, if you were here last Sunday morning. I wonder what you were thinking, considering. I wonder if any of you were tempted to switch round the first two words. Are we a house of prayer? Are we? Here we are this morning. There's nearly 300 of us in this room. Thursday night prayer meeting, there might be 30 of us. We are a house of prayer. Are we a house of prayer? Or consider your week. So many hours sleep, so many hours at work, so many minutes eating. So many hours online. So many minutes at prayer. Are we a house of prayer? Jesus went into the temple. The temple wasn't being used how it should have been used. He overturned things. What does Jesus need to overturn amongst us? To call us back, if you like, to our true identity, to be a house of prayer. Remember at the beginning of last week, you probably don't, but I asked you to think of one word when I said the words prayer meeting. What one word popped into your head when I say the words prayer meeting? Well, I've come up with three. Three words that might pop into your head. Three words that you wouldn't necessarily say out loud if they did pop into your head. But I think three words that expose why we're not what we ought to be in terms of being a house of prayer. Three words. The church prayer meeting. Boring, pointless, scary. Now, I think there is a difference between what's sometimes called our confessional belief. I think I've talked about this before. Our confessional belief, what we confess, what we say with our mouths. This is what I believe. Let me tell you. This is what I believe about prayer. It's what I know the Bible says about prayer. Let me tell you. Confessional belief. And our functional belief. This is what my life shows. This is what I do. If you were to look at me, this is what you'd see. You notice the difference? Confessional, what I say. Functional, what I do. Now, we'd never say this. Well, we'd rarely say this. Church prayer meeting, so boring. It's just pointless, waste of time. We might occasionally, and I've heard this, perhaps we're a bit more comfortable saying this, it's just scary. But functionally, is this what we believe? Because we're not there. Because we don't come. Well, we're going to look at those three words and try and pick over them. And rather than hearing Satan's whisper, which is a lie, which will say these things and back them up, instead we need to hear God's word, which is the truth, which will undermine these things and blow them up. So, let's pick them off one by one. Boring, first of all. Boring. I'm bored. When did you last hear those words? I'm so bored. When did you last say those words? So boring. Well, maybe you don't actually find yourself saying it, but in our fast-paced, instant world now, I think we're prone to this, aren't we? Everything we expect to happen now, we expect to be entertained all the time. Our minds are being trained to be quite flitty. I've noticed this particularly the last 2 weeks. I think I commented last week. We've had no Wi-Fi in our house for about 2 weeks. Tomorrow is reconnection day. That's an exciting day in our house. But I found if I'm working on my computer at home, which is not connected to the internet at the moment, I found the way my mind seems to have become wired, that I'd be working on something and then click. It just doesn't work at the moment. But my mind is making that step to look something up, to check something out, to look elsewhere. Flitty. Those devices that you carry around with you, that ping or beep or vibrate. And in all kinds of circumstances and situations, you find yourself looking at them. In those moments when you're... I noticed it yesterday. We were out yesterday shopping somewhere. And I got on an escalator. An escalator. Now, how long does it take to get from the bottom to the top of an escalator? 12 seconds? But it's a moment. It's a moment of opportunity. I can check. Check on my phone. Has anything popped up on Twitter? Have Oxford scored? I can check. Is there an email? Has someone messaged me? Flitty. Easily bored. I can't stand on an escalator for 12 seconds. Easily bored. I need to look at something, be engaged with something. Church prayer meeting. Boring. Coming for an hour or so, most of that time with your eyes closed. Listening. Boring. Well, three correctives. Three correctives that show us the church prayer meeting is not boring. The first corrective is this. The church prayer meeting is relational, not ritual. What's going on when we gather to pray is relational. It's not ritual. It's not a religious duty. We're going to look at various Bible passages. So a bit like last week, you need to be ready, alert. You may use your flitty electronic device. But don't flit in the wrong directions. Or there's paper Bibles around you in the chairs and in the pews. First reference is in Matthew chapter 6, page 970. We're going to look at this in more detail next week. And for many of us, we don't need to look this up because we know this. Matthew chapter 6, page 970 and verse 9. Jesus says, "This then is how you should pray, Our Father in heaven." Relational, not ritual. Just consider those four words. Jesus teaching us to pray. The first four words alone are enough, aren't they? To get our mind ticking. To start to think, wow, this is not boring. This is extraordinary. Our Father in heaven. That's who we come to when we pray. Our Father. Relational. Our Father in heaven. Prayer time is, and certainly church prayer time, is family time. To be together with our Heavenly Father. To speak to Him, to share our concerns, to bring our thanks and our praise. Now, sometimes in this life, seeing an earthly relative is a chore. Some of you feel that. Oh, maybe you felt it at Christmas. To spend time with them. Someone from your human family. But think of your best earthly relationship. Perhaps that, for some of you, that's past. That's someone who you've had time and enjoyed time with, but they've gone now. But it might be painful to think back to how good that is, to have somebody whose company you just really enjoy, being in their presence, spending time with them. It's not boring, is it? It's good. It's engaging. Prayer is relational, not ritual. Secondly, prayer is about war, not peace. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, reading from verse 10. Finally, says Paul, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. It's one thing you can get from what Paul is saying here. We are in a battle. That's what he's saying, isn't it? Talks about armor, struggle, forces. We are in a battle. Satan does not want us to pray. Satan does not want our evangelism to be effective. Satan does not want our discipleship to be lasting. Satan does not want the kids' work to be fruitful. Satan does not want Sundays to be effective during the week. We're in a battle. To get through a week where you don't let Christ down. You're in a battle. And look at verse 18. It talks about putting on the armor of God and, verse 18, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. There aren't many soldiers who say they're bored on the battlefield. Can you imagine? The adrenaline's pumping. The senses are heightened. Danger lurks around every corner. And you've got each other's back, haven't you? You have to. If you're in an army on the battlefield, you have to trust that the others have got your back and you've got their back and you're covering each other. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Not boring, vital. When we were last in a big war, the nation prayed. Because there was a war on. And Paul tells us we're in the same situation, not a physical war, but a spiritual war. There is a war on. We must pray. Not boring. Relational, not ritual. War, not peace. Thirdly, church is about the collective, not the individual. One of the things, or one of the reasons I think that boredom beckons at the church prayer meeting is that it's not about me. It's not about me. Selfishness is one of our biggest battles. Selfishness and sin go hand in hand. It's all about me. My wants, my needs, my desires, my preferences, what's going on in my world, my life. But church isn't about me. It's about us. It's about we. Jesus taught us to pray our Father. Us. Now, let's turn to Philippians, just to see something on this one. In fact, just over the page, if you're in Ephesians chapter 6, just go over one page to Philippians chapter 2. And Paul says this, Philippians 2 verse 1. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Paul is really blunt. We lose a little bit, I think, in our translation, but he's being really blunt here. Are you a Christian, he says? You got any benefits out of being a Christian? Is being a Christian a good thing? And if we're reading it, we ought to be nodding. Yes? Yes? We have encouragement from being united with Christ. Wow, we've just remembered it at communion. The encouragement, sins forgiven. Eternity secure. What encouragement. We have comfort from his love. Yeah, when it seems the world is against us and things are wrong, I can still keep coming back to the solid love of God for me, shown to me in Christ Jesus. Yes, I have comfort from his love. Common sharing in the Spirit. We have the same Spirit at work amongst us. Yes. Tenderness and compassion. Yes, I can see that developing. Then, says Paul, make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and in mind. Praying together helps us to do that, to be one in mind, one in spirit. Praying together gets you off thinking about yourself and onto thinking about others, and together thinking about others. It brings a unity. How true is this in marriage? Married couples who pray together, stay together. That's so often a mantra that I've heard. Now, it's not the only ingredient that's needed, but it's a really important one. Because it brings a unity of purpose, a unity of mind, a depth of understanding. A church that prays together, stays together. United. Church is collective, not individual. I don't come to the prayer meeting to pray about me. I come to the prayer meeting to pray about you and others. Now, I might ask people to pray for things about me, and they might do that, and we'll come to that in a moment to see why that's important. But the prayer meeting, we think it's boring because it's not about me, but that's the whole point. That's the whole point of church. Not my agenda, but there to encourage others. Don't turn to this one, but the writer to the Hebrews says this, Hebrews 10 verse 24, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. Not giving up meeting together. Oh, we pray at home. I pray on my own. Well, that's great and good, and we should. But we need to get together as well. We need to encourage each other in this. Because actually, it's easier to pray together. Boring. Not boring. Church prayer meeting, not boring. Relational, not ritual. War, not peace. Collective, not individual. Pointless. Well, maybe it's not boring, but it's pointless, isn't it? What's the point of coming together to pray? Does prayer even work? Now, for some of you, that's a theoretical question. It's coming perhaps from a cynical heart. For some of you, that's a painful question. Coming perhaps from difficult circumstances. But what does God's word say? Let's listen to God about what he says about prayer. Is it pointless? We're in Philippians. You said in Philippians? Look at chapter 1, verse 19. Paul is in prison. He's in chains for the gospel. Things seemingly aren't going well for him. Chapter 1 and verse 19. We'll read from a bit of verse 18, the word yes. Yes, says Paul, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That's a famous statement of Paul's. To live is Christ, to die is gain. But where does Paul start that train of thought? I know that through your prayers, this is what will happen. What's going on where I'm in chains for the gospel, it will work out for my deliverance, whether I live or I die. All will be well. And he knows that God is at work through the church's prayers. He's writing to a church. Through your prayers. Isn't speaking to one individual, but to the church. Through your prayers, God will be at work. It's fruitful, not futile. Or come with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, back just a few pages. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, on page 1159. Notice what he says about this church's prayers, the church in Corinth. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 10. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us, as you help us by your prayers. God to be at work through the prayers of the church. And he goes on, then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favour granted us in answer to the prayers of many. Paul knows that God seeks to work through our prayers. That's not limiting his sovereignty. He's fully in charge. It doesn't mean he doesn't know the future, but he chooses to work his sovereignty out, his future purposes out through our prayers. He involves us, if you like, in the action. Prayer is fruitful, not futile. Secondly, prayer is essential, not optional. If you go to buy a car, you get the choices, don't you, of what comes as standard and what's an optional extra. You imagine if brakes were an optional extra when you bought a car. Well, we want to save a bit of money, we'll leave brakes out, we'll leave them off. We can make do without them, we'll just be careful. We'll use the gears. Madness. Brakes aren't an optional extra. They come as standard. They're essential. Park assist is an optional extra. Still can't get my head around that. The car can park itself. Does that actually work? Some of us think it ought to come as standard. But it's an optional extra. You have to pay for the privilege to have park assist, where the car will park itself. Prayer. Prayer in the life of the church. The church prayer meeting. Us getting together to pray. Optional extra. Or come as standard. Essential. Let's turn to a psalm. Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labour in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat. For he grants sleep to those he loves. It's all about God, isn't it? It's all about what he does, ultimately. We can be busy, we can be doing, we can be active. Busy with church things. Busy with work, busy with family. But if the Lord's not in it, it's all in vain. That's what the psalmist says. So we need to ask him to be in it, to be involved, to be active. To bring our activity to him. Wednesday at 1, our midweek prayer meeting, 45 minutes on a Wednesday. We always pray for Sundays. This is when most of us are gathered. But actually, if the Lord isn't in this, if he's not here speaking to us, involved in what we're about on a Sunday morning, then this is all a waste of time. You might as well be at home, still in bed on a day like today. You might as well just stay in and catch up on some TV. Or get out and do something active, healthy, good for you. It's a waste of time unless the Lord is in this. Is he in this? Have we asked him to be in this? Have we prayed to him? Lord, would you be at work on the Sunday? Those Sunday club leaders who've been preparing this week, would you help them as they teach my children on Sunday? Would you give them grace and patience and wisdom? Would you be in this? Those youth leaders, as they toil away with 13-year-olds, would you help them? Give them inspiration. Give them a thick skin. Give them courage. Our musicians, as they come on a Sunday and they practice before the service, as they try and get in tune with each other to help us sing, would you help them? Would you be in this? Give them joy in serving you and us on a Sunday. Us, as we gather, our conversations over coffee or a cup of tea, would you help us? Where I sit on a Sunday, would you help me sit in the right place so that I'm next to that person who just needs some encouragement that day? Or that person who can give me the encouragement I need that day? Would you help us? Would you be in this? Would you be active, involved? Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labour in vain. It's all pointless. Unless God's involved. The story goes that one Sunday, many years ago, one Sunday, five college students were sightseeing in London when they decided to hear the famed C.H. Spurgeon preach. Arriving at the huge church, they sat on the steps and waited for the doors to open. While chatting among themselves, a man from the congregation came by and greeted them and engaged them in pleasant conversation. After a while, he asked, "Gentlemen," that tells you it was a few years ago, doesn't it? "Gentlemen, let me show you around. Would you like to see the heating plant of this church?" The young men were not particularly interested, as a heating plant was not on the top of their list of things they wanted to visit. Besides, it was fast becoming an extremely hot day in July. But they didn't want to offend the stranger, so they consented. The young men were taken down a stairway, a door was quietly opened, and their guide whispered, "This is our heating plant." Surprised, the students saw 700 people quietly bowed in prayer, seeking a blessing on the service that was soon about to begin in the auditorium above. Softly closing the door, the gentleman then introduced himself. It was none other than Charles Haddon Spurgeon. 700 people before the service praying that God would be at work in that service. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. They got that. Psalm 90 verse 17, Psalm 90 ends with these words, establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. You see, you might be really busy in some kind of ministry in the life of the church. And that's brilliant. But if it means you're not coming to the prayer meeting, then what's going on? It's the wrong way round, isn't it? That's what Psalm 127 says. That's what Psalm 90 says. We need to be praying together that God would be at work in these things. Otherwise, it's all in vain. Not pointless. Essential. Thirdly, scary. Now, this is the one that perhaps some of us admit, and I think feel more at ease admitting. Perhaps from experience, that moment, you've been in a group and others have prayed and they've prayed brilliantly and perhaps it's sort of swinging round the circle and it's coming your way and you start to feel the beads of sweat appear on your head because you can't think of what to say. You don't really like speaking that much in public anyway. And well, what if you get it wrong? What if you say a prayer that's just rubbish? What are people going to think about you as a Christian or a person? Now, I've said it before, I'll say it again. I hope in our prayer meetings when we come together, you won't be forced to pray out loud. But I'd love you to say amen. That's the one word you can say with others. That's the one word we need to say with others. Amen. And actually, your presence there and your saying amen is brilliant. But I think the Bible gives us a reason why we ought to be there. And at some point, maybe it will take us months, perhaps years, we too will join in with the prayers. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. It's on page 1218. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. Speaking of Christians, so speaking to us, verse 5 says, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. That's what we were thinking of last week. We are the temple, being built into a spiritual house. But look at what he says next. To be a holy priesthood. Now, the Bible's very clear that Jesus is the only priest we need. He is our great high priest. He is our mediator between us and God. But the Bible quite often uses this phrase about us. We are also priests. You are a priest. Look at the person next to you and say that to them. Slightly uncomfortable, isn't it? You are a priest. Even more uncomfortable to say it of yourself. I am a priest. Not me at the front. That's the mistake some churches make, but us. We are a priesthood. And priests are mediators. They're go-betweens. And part of the way we're mediators or go-betweens is through our praying. Praying for each other, bringing things to God. Now, that often happens in our services where one person, Chris did it for us today, he will come and pray and we're listening. And rather than our mind flitting and drifting, we should be listening and thinking, yes, yes, if we're agreeing. Yeah, I think that. I agree with that. We need that. Amen, amen. Amen means I agree. So we do that with one person at the front, and sometimes that's how church prayer meetings work. One person will lead us all, but we can all join in. They're putting things in ways we wouldn't have thought of. They're talking about things that we didn't think of. But we can join in. Amen, amen. But also we need the more personal, don't we? So when we are in those smaller groups, particularly perhaps thinking of our growth groups, and there's stuff going on in my life, and I don't know what to pray, but someone else can bring that to the Lord for me. A mediator. We are needy and needed. That's how the Bible describes us. We are needy. We saw that at the beginning of Psalm 86 when we started this series. I am poor and needy. That's all of us. We're needy. But we're needed by each other. I need you to pray for me. You could say that to the person next to you. I need you to pray for me. I need you to pray for me. Will you pray for me? It is scary, but we're needy and needed. It is a responsibility, but we're needy and needed. We're a priesthood. We're mediators. And finally, we need to remember this. We're learners, not professionals. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. Disciples come to Jesus and they say to him, Lord, teach us to pray. The disciples, they've been going around with Jesus, but they ask him, teach us, help us. Teach us to pray. That's got to be all of our questions, hasn't it? We've all got to start somewhere. Teach us to pray. Keep helping us with how to pray. Now, and when we're at the church prayer meeting, we don't need to listen to others and think, well, they're just professionals. Yeah, they started somewhere. They've learned off others. And actually, the prayer meeting is the best place to learn to pray. When you hear other people praying, how do they pray? What do they pray for? How do they approach this? And we can learn and we can pick things up that help us in our praying. Even if we come and listen and amen and amen, and we don't say anything for a while, that is absolutely fine, but it will rub off on us. We will learn. So, the church prayer meeting, three words. Boring. I hope we've seen from God's word, it's not boring. It's relational. It's a war zone. It's not boring. Pointless. I hope we've seen from God's word, it's not pointless. It's fruitful. God works through our prayers. He promises to. Scary. It might be scary. But there's ways around that. There's accommodation for that. And actually, it's too important to stay away because of that. Now, many of us are busy. Busy, busy, busy. And we have, don't we, those sort of time management charts that help us to work out what we ought to do. I think, is it the Eisenhower one? What's urgent and what's important? And the saying goes, what is important is seldom urgent, and what is urgent is seldom important. And we try and, with a grid like that, try and work out what is both, what falls into both categories. It's urgent and it's important. Church prayer meeting. It is urgent and important. We're full on a Sunday morning, so what are we going to do about that? How are we going to make more space for more people to join with us? I don't know. We need to pray. We're vulnerable in lots of areas. We need more help with our children's work on a Friday night, with our Sunday club, with our tiddler group on a Tuesday. Where are we going to get that help? I don't know. We need to pray. We're changing our charitable status potentially this year. There's some big decisions to be made. How are we going to be wise in doing that? How are we going to make the right decision? I don't know. We need to pray. Will you pray? Will you pray this week? Will you pray? Let's have a moment of quiet before we sing our final hymn together this morning.